Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Zephaniah chapter 3. In verse 17, the Word of God says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy, and he will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty." Do you understand this? In your lives and in your situations and the things that you encounter, the Lord is in your midst and He is very powerful. Often it can seem like things will overwhelm us. Maybe we are overwhelmed in our emotions because they seem so very large to us and we seem so very small to ourselves. And this is the human condition. It's very common for people to have this happen. But when you get into these places where you feel like you are helpless, where you feel like there is no winning, where you feel like you are going to be defeated, no matter what you do, even though you are doing all that you can to be in the perfect will of God, to do things God's way, to respond to Him. But in those circumstances where you feel like you are completely unable, and perhaps even lost, realize that the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. That He is extraordinarily powerful. We think of people as being powerful against us. Maybe they can be our bosses, or maybe they are someone who has some sort of means and comes against us, or somehow in another way perhaps can influence our lives. These people are nothing. These people mean nothing unless they are walking with the Holy Spirit of God, and they are nothing. When the spies came back from Israel and they saw giants, they did not recognize the mightiness of God. They recognized their own insufficiency. But the giants recognized the mightiness of God on the behalf of the grasshoppers. To the giants, they looked like grasshoppers. The spies were not lying as they were walking by sight. And perhaps that someone of the stature of the spies was in fact grasshopper-like when there were giants in the land. Like David met the Philistine Goliath, and he was a 9-foot giant. He was relatively small among the giants. He was a descendant of the giants, but he wasn't one of the mighty giants that Israel encountered in Canaan. What the spies did not realize, except for Joshua and Caleb, was that the Lord was mighty in the midst of Israel. That it was the same God who was leading them into the promised land as led them through the Red Sea. That it was the same God who led them into Egypt through Joseph, whose life was completely controlled and destined. How's the word I'm thinking of? Completely led by God into strange situations that he could not understand, into circumstances that were certainly overwhelming for him, and into places where he could see no beneficial outcome. But the Lord God in his life was also mighty. When Moses was to be put to death by the order of Pharaoh, the Lord was mighty. And not only did Moses survive, Moses was raised by Pharaoh's own daughter. Tell me if God does not have divine reversals. Where Pharaoh wanted to destroy the children from Israel and raises the very child that would deliver Israel. He knew that child. He took that child on as a son because he was the son of his daughter. The Lord God was mighty. The Lord in the impossible situation is extremely powerful toward that situation. There is nothing that can overpower Him, and there is nothing that He is ignorant or indifferent towards. The Lord is mighty. What is the circumstance that you see? Who is the person that you see as being bigger than you? Well, I have news for you. Every circumstance is bigger than me. But no circumstance is bigger than my God. Every person in some way is bigger than me. But no person is bigger than my God. Now, I belong to a mighty God. It's not that I am associated with Him. It's not that I've met Him once. It's not that He's an acquaintance. I belong to a mighty God. And whatever goes on in my life is because a mighty God has ordained it in my life. It didn't happen by accident. The devil didn't get one over, and either did some person. The circumstance didn't just evolve, pop up out of nothing. It was preordained. It was designed by a God who is mighty in my midst. And so I live with a mighty God calling me, of all people, calling me His beloved. The same one who is a mighty God says, I am loved with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness He draws me. Go figure. Now, I know that I don't deserve that. I know that I am not up to the task. I know that I am not worthy in the way the world calls worthy. But nevertheless, it is what is. Nevertheless, God says we have been chosen by Him. Show me one believer who was sufficient in himself to be chosen by God. There is not one. So I don't look at myself in the things that I encounter, but I turn to the one who is mighty in the things that I encounter. I pray and I expect results. Why? Because the Lord my God is mighty. And I don't expect results because I'm so amazing and therefore my prayer. No, I expect results because I am so beloved and therefore my prayer reaches the one who is mighty. The Lord your God is mighty. Do you understand? The Lord your God is mighty. He is extraordinarily powerful in your life, and He has planned out every single step, every single breath. He knows the hair that's on your head. He knows the number of moments that you will be alive. He goes and He prepares a place for you in the New Jerusalem. And while you are here, He is mighty on your behalf. Do you realize what that means to the believer? That means that there is nothing that can come against the believer and prosper. There is not one thing in Isaiah 54:17 that can prosper against the believer. I don't care who brings it up. I don't care what circumstance ushers it in. I don't care how it even looks. There is nothing that can be brought against the believer that can prosper. A believer who is walking in the will of God, a believer who has a heart after God, may be a weak believer. But nevertheless, that's not the issue. Because what believer is not a weak believer? What believer can do anything apart from God? But on the other hand, what believer can do not do anything with God? Is it not that the believer can do all things through Christ who strengthens him? Isn't that what we are told? Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We think that somehow we're going to lose. We might point to things and say, see, this is what happened here to these people or to me. But how do I know those things? I remember a man that used to be in our church about 25 years ago. He had been paralyzed in a motorcycle accident. Now, this would seem like a horrid thing. And certainly, most of us would never want this in our lives. All of us. I cannot think of one person who would. But at the same time, he was once an unbeliever when he got paralyzed. It's because he was paralyzed that he was living in a home for people with his problems. When we came knocking on his door, because we were doing outreach to that place, he got saved. Now, he was still paralyzed, but he was saved. That means that for all of eternity, he would not perish. His hardship was also his provision. How many people do not have the hardship that some do, but never get saved? And yet we look at them and say, it was better for them. And we say, we had this hardship, but maybe we'll get saved because of that hardship. Maybe that is what our lives were like. And so we see something outwardly, we see something perhaps easier, and we say it was better. Because we don't recognize the mightiness of God. The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. Do you understand? The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. And He is not merely mighty. He is mighty on your behalf. He said, I fight your battles. He says, I'm your shelter and your strong fortress. He says, I'm your deliverer. The Lord your God is mighty. He is intimately concerned and intimately involved in all of the situations and details of your life. And in every one of those, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem to you in a sight evaluation, or no matter how great and overwhelming it may seem to you in a sight evaluation, He is still mighty. Have you ever seen that picture, pale blue dot? It seems so small, the earth, doesn't it, in that picture? It was taken by the Voyager spacecraft from around Neptune of the Earth. And there's this tiny little pinprick of a dot. A little blue thing. Barely distinguishable from all the other dots in the photograph, which were stars. But that was the Earth. Now, consider that the Earth is really, despite what the politicians want to say, is really sparsely populated. I mean, there are people who have 1,000 acres just to themselves. They say that you could fit the entire population of the planet comfortably into an area the size of Texas. The world is really sparsely populated. And then these little things walking around, these little dust balls with the breath of life in them walking around, they're hardly noticeable from just a mile or two as you fly in an airplane that gets 5 miles from the earth. You can't even distinguish them from the ground. You look at somebody and you can barely see them a mile away. And this is what scares us. The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He spoke it all into existence. He spoke what is so difficult to comprehend to the mind of a man, but yet it is out there into existence. All he had to do is say something. He didn't actually have to lift a finger. The Lord your God is mighty. The Word of God says in Isaiah 9:6 that His name is in fact Mighty God. Is He your mighty God? Or is He something less than mighty as your God? Is He your mighty God? Is there something in your life that you feel will overcome you? Well, it will not. Because you have a mighty God. What is your fear? You have a mighty God. And though you may be afraid, He is a faithful, mighty God. And of all things, He is faithful to you. You are the one that He said is His beloved. You are the one that He said He chose. You are the one that He shed His blood for. You are the one that He desires to give the kingdom to. And He is mighty. I don't understand why, but I know that it is in fact the way that it is. I don't understand why God should love sinful men except for the fact that He is love. But it is simply the way that it is. And for those sinful men, for those things that you cannot even see a few miles in the air as you're flying in an airplane, that are not even distinguishable from the moon, a mere 250,000 miles away or something like that, nothing at all on a cosmic level. These little puny cosmic microbes. Don't ask me why. But for some reason, He loves those things. And He is mighty on their behalf. What is it that God cannot do in your estimation? It's a different God then. Because He can do all things, and so can you, through Christ who strengthens you. The Word of God says in Genesis 49:24, His bow abode in strength, and the arms of His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Do you know why He called Himself the mighty God of Jacob and not of Israel? Because He was the mighty God of a carnal man, not just of a spiritual one. Whenever you see Jacob, as opposed to Israel, referring to that man in the Bible, it is referring to the old nature of that man. He was a mighty God of a man who was saved, but carnal. Of a man who was, we would say, undeserving, but deserving made no difference to God. He was mighty for Jacob. And He strengthened that carnal man. Jacob was not a good guy. He raised kids who were disasters. Somehow God used those 12 disasters and He built a nation out of them. He built His nation out of them. Do you recognize that it is not your worthiness or your performance or your righteousness or how good you are, how well you do, that determines God's willingness on your behalf? God's willing because that's who He is. God is not willing because of who you are, except for the fact that you are the Beloved. But you're not the Beloved because of what you can do. You are the Beloved because of what He thinks of you. Go figure. The Lord your God is mighty. He's mighty enough to overcome, in His own estimation, your shortcomings. How many people think, yeah, God is mighty, but I'm rotten? He is mighty enough to overcome your shortcomings. He is mighty enough that He does not see you after those shortcomings. He is mighty. Do you get it? God is mighty. He's powerful on your behalf. The Word of God says, in Jeremiah 32, He shows loving kindness unto thousands and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Now what does that mean, He recompenses into the iniquity of the fathers? He's not talking about the believer. He's mighty towards the believer, and in the unbeliever their iniquity will be passed on to their children. But the believer's iniquity is removed as far as the east is from the west. The believer has no iniquity. The believer has been cleansed by the blood from his iniquity. That's not talking about believers. A lot of people can't figure that one out. So why would He do that to the believer? He doesn't. That's the one who rejects Christ, rejects the mightiness of God. And it means that they will teach their iniquity to their children. Unless, of course, the children humble themselves before God. And then it's broken. In Psalm 50, verse 1, the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. What does that mean? That means if you forget the mightiness of God, then look at things like creation. Where did it come from? How is it that you have DNA? How is it that it works? How is it that it's meaningful? How is it that the earth is in the habitable zone? This narrow little track throughout our galaxy, the only place in the entire galaxy where life can possibly exist, and we are just about the only thing in it with our solar system. How is that? How is it that there is water on Earth when there's only 100 degrees centigrade difference between ice and vapor? And we cannot live with that, and God has just so precisely placed it on your behalf. How is it that you can breathe? How is it that you are alive? How is it that your eyes function when there is no reason why something like this should even work? But yet you have amazing vision and you have binocular vision where you can see depth. How is that? How is it that the earth is between Perseus, Pisces, and the great supercluster called the Great Attractor? How is it that we are not shredded? And how is it that we are not compressed? How is it that we are exactly in the position that we need to be in our own galaxy, in our galaxy, in our supercluster, and in our cluster, and so on? How is it that the constellations, the stars, tell the story of the gospel so that even those who cannot hear can see? How is it? Do you doubt that He is mighty on your behalf when He wrote the gospel in the stars, so that even the least person from the most remote place could see it every single day? Where every civilization has had the same understanding of those stars, even though they're not connect the dot. How is it that He made those signs and seasons evident in the sky? The Lord your God is mighty. The one who did that calls you beloved. The one who did that says, though you may not believe, He abides faithful. The one who did that says you're precious in His eyes. And He tells you that He loves you. How is that? Because the Lord your God is mighty. You don't need to be afraid of the things that come in your life. We are afraid anyway. We're human beings. But it's not necessary. It doesn't disqualify you from God's faithfulness, nor does it qualify you if you're not afraid. It's just not needed. We get afraid because we know our insufficiency, perhaps. And God understands our frame and He knows that we are but dust. But it's still not needed. We're not rejected because of it. We're not accepted because we lack it. It's just not necessary. The Word of God says in 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will not need to fight this battle. I find it interesting. Listen to this. You will not need to fight in this... The word battle there is actually not in the original language. You will not need to fight in this. Set yourselves. Stand ye. It doesn't say still in the original. Just stand. Set yourself and stand. You will not need to fight with this. Get your position and stand. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Don't be discouraged, He said, and don't be afraid. You are not going to have to fight in this. How often are we afraid because we think we're going to have to do the fighting and we don't think we can win? Isn't that what Israel thought in the face of the Philistine? We're going to have to fight in this and he's going to kill us. It didn't take an army. It took one person who simply believed God. That's all it took. As soon as that one kid who believed God was found, that was the end of the problem. He says, stand and see the salvation of God. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed or discouraged or disheartened. Tomorrow, go out against them. In other words, tomorrow you'll be on the battlefield with them. But he says, I will be with you. The Lord will be with you. I heard somebody say one time, in a war, whose side is God on? When we fought World War II against the Nazis, there were German Christians just like there were American Christians. Whose side was God on? The side that won. He wasn't dealing with sides and people. He was dealing with sides and nations. The side that won. And God says here, He is on your side. In your battle, God is on your side. In your battle, God fights on your behalf. He is on your side. In your battle, God is mighty. In your life, when you don't know how you will see the outcome of a call, in your life, you will not. You maybe you're a young person and you don't see how in the world am I ever going to get married. Well, the answer is simple. The Lord your God is mighty. Maybe you're someone who has a call and you can't possibly see your way into the call. How in the world am I going to walk into that call? It's very simple. The Lord your God is mighty. Maybe you're someone who does things God's way and you're paying a price and you think that price is going to cost you something and you say, what am I going to do about that? It's very simple. The Lord your God is mighty. Maybe you're someone who needs a financial provision and you're wondering, how in the world is this going to work out for me? And the answer is simple. The Lord your God is mighty. You belong to a mighty God. And He says you are His. He doesn't say you are the world's. He says you are His possession. He says He crafted you with His hands and He crafts your life also. He says that He established a plan for your life from the foundation of the world. He knew you before the world began. He died for you in Revelation 13:8 before the world began. He is mighty on your behalf. In your circumstances, or in your dealings with people, or in your walk with God, don't ask yourself, how is it going to happen? It's a normal question. If you ask that, that's fine. But you don't need to. The answer is always the same. The Lord, your God, is mighty. Amen.